Welcome to Breaking Doctrine, presented to you by the Combined Arms Doctrine Directorate at the Combined Arms Center at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. The views expressed here are those of the individual and do not represent the views of the Combined Arms Center, U.S. Army, or U.S. government.
Welcome to Breaking Doctrine, a U.S. Army Combined Arms Center podcast on emerging doctrine and the Army's vision of warfare. Hello, I'm Lieutenant Colonel Lisa Becker, and I'll be your host through our 12 days of doctrine. Each fall, the doctrine community across the Army, our sister services, allies, and partners gather together for the Doctrine Developers Forum. Although a forum dedicated to doctrine might sound a little like a sleepy event, the forum actually provides thought-provoking conversations and connective tissue to all our doctrinal efforts. In the next days, we're going to roll out some of those thought-provoking discussions with doctrine writers from across the Army. You'll see themes throughout the conversations, continuing impacts to doctrine from the publication of FM30 over 2 years ago. You'll see transformation efforts going on, and you'll see collaboration across the Army, across major commands, and small unit formations. Today, on the first day of doctrine, Special Doctrine Division is giving to you, our listeners, perspective. Perspective on how change doesn't happen overnight, but the transformation that is happening everywhere in our Army is critical to winning on the battlefield. Listen in on Brigadier General Babich, the Mission Command Center of Excellence Director, his opening remarks at our 2024 Doctrine Developers Forum.
And if you're around Fort Leavenworth long enough, and I now qualify as having been around long enough, you start to dip into the history of doctrine, the history of some of the luminaries that were involved. And of course, the name that's going to come up is the same name in our CAC conference, or General Retired Don Starr. And so what I would commend to you, and you can find it on Amazon, if you've never heard about this before, they pulled together all of his collected works, all of his writing, because back in the day, that's what they did. Some of you are from back in the day. You wrote you all of your thoughts in memorandum and correspondence. And so he was a voracious writer, you know, his own internal memos, his guidance, his communication with the force. And it's in two doorstop volumes, and literally about 1,700 pages all in, and broken down by chronologically and then by section. So the first thing that I went to when I finally picked up my copies a couple years ago was the section on doctrine. And it's probably, you know, roughly 160, 170 pages. And chronologically for General Starry, from the time that he was really a young lieutenant in Germany, you know, working for some battalion commander by the last name of Abrams, and then moving throughout his career up until he was the 5th Corps commander, and then, you know, as he worked through TRADOC, and then where I'm going with this is FM100-5 and the creation of Airland Battle, which he is, General, to you, General Starry, and some of the other luminaries that are associated with the development of that. Well, in my generation, coming into the Army decades later, it has taken on a certain degree of mythology. That Airland Battle was brought down from the heavens, and it was immediately accepted by the Joint Force, by the Air Force, that the Corps and division commanders that were out there on the Folded Gap immediately understood it and immediately understood how we were going to defeat the Soviet Union. Nothing could be further from the truth. And if there's any reason to increase the circulation of those two volumes, it would be this one particular section in Volume 1, because you see the evolution of Airland Battle from when it was just an idea to, and this is what really is cool, it connects to something that Mr. Creed talked about in October 22 when we rolled out FM30. It ain't perfect. Never was intended to be perfect. And we expect that there's going to be a change one that's going to come in the next 60 or 90 days. And it so was at the first edition of 100-5. And not only was it not perfect, it needed to get field tested. It needed to go through some iterations of reforgers, and then to get that feedback from the field. It was imperfect, but it had a direct connection with the doctrine developers. and in particular with General Starry. And it, you know, one thing was we missed some key areas that need to be addressed. But the other thing was, and we're feeling this right now, is we write something and we know what we mean when we write. We know what we mean when we write it. When it's digested by the folks that matter, by our operational force within the Army, we find that we have a lot of different interpretations. And across warfighting functions, across echelons, it becomes an iterative process, not only in how we develop the doctrine, but then how we're communicating it to the operational force through various exercises and venues. And to me, I feel like I'm, you know, to a degree, I'm part of this community, and we're living through that history again. We're in that first couple of years. We're trying to define ideas like convergence. We're working with General Flynn and the USERPAC team and INDOPACOM to understand our role in the Pacific. And we're also going through significant transformation driven by our chief and our senior leaders, and well justified. But where our doctrine meets our transformation efforts, I would ask that this entire group and to the outstations to really think about how are we connected to those efforts. What I realized in this journey, and then thinking through that, those examples of those years, say 75 to 86, we're still trying to really nail down what air land battle meant. We're just a couple of years into this being our official doctrine. And the best way that we're going to do it is that we're integrated and we're thinking at echelon, and we're thinking, you know, what impacts does it have to whether it's my specialty, my warfighting function, the joint force, our partners and allies. How are we thinking about this in an integrated manner? And then are our efforts synchronized with the pace of change? And that's very hard for this group. And I think with the steady navigation of General Beagle, Mr. Creed, and the entire CAD team, we're not lurching in our doctrine. We're being sound in our observations, whether that's real world, Russia, Ukraine, Nagorno-Karabakh, or in our own exercises. We're looking at that through a lens and asking ourselves, are we adapting? Are we thinking through adjustments of doctrine, what I would call the pace of change or the pace of relevance? And that is an exciting time as well that we're a part of. I'll leave it on a sober thought, and I think we all feel it. Yeah. And we just had General Rainey, the AFC CG, former PAC CG, former Mission Command Center of Excellence Director. We had him out here, and I've heard him speak a couple of times. And one thing that really resonates for me, and we hear from other senior leaders as well, is we're in what I think we'll look at historically as those interwar years, just as we've been in past periods of time. So it's what we do in our doctrine which drives change throughout our Army. It's the efforts that we synchronize and integrate. We think about fighting at echelon within the joint force with our partners, that we recognize that our work matters and that we are operating on borrowed time. And I'm stealing that phrase, but I think that's what drives us to know that we can fix these things in periods of conflict, but at great cost in blood and treasure. So the work that we're doing here is incredibly serious, incredibly critical. Pay attention across your warfighting functions and across our efforts in the Army, where we seek to tie TRADOC, AFC, FORSCOM, our component commands, in particular USERPAC and USERAF, but all of our ASCCs, and pay attention at that pace of change and ensure that our anchor, our foundation, remains doctrine. Because if it's not, we will become, as an Army, we will become disintegrated by our own doing.
I'll wrap up this episode with my thoughts on our content over the next 12 days of doctrine. I truly hope that you enjoy these conversations as much as I did. You've heard my voice on more than a dozen podcast episodes, and each episode I learn a lot about doctrine and our army. But I think these 12 days of doctrine are conversations that will give you an even greater peek behind the scenes. I know there might be some episode topics that may appear less interesting to you, but I challenge you to listen to those episodes and understand how integrated our army needs to be to fight our next war. Much like the Harding Project is intended to spur professional discourse, we hope that these water cooler conversations with the doctrine community spur thoughts and discussions around your watering holes. We as the doctrine community would love to hear your feedback, your observations, your lessons learned, and your transformation efforts. So feel free to drop any of us a line or reach out on social media at US Army Doctrine. Just like writing new doctrine is a team effort, breaking doctrine takes a team. Without the Kurin Special Doctrine Division here at CAD, we wouldn't be able to bring you this show. Please don't forget to subscribe on Amazon Music, Apple, Odyssey, Audible, Spotify, or YouTube. Also, go ahead and follow us on social media at US Army Doctrine to get updates on new podcasts, Doctrine Digest videos, and publications. Finally, the views and opinions expressed in this podcast do not necessarily reflect the official position of the United States Army, the U.S. Army Training and Doctrine Command, or the Combined Arms Center. I'm Lieutenant Colonel Lisa Becker, and this has been Breaking Doctrine.